Israel are uncircumcised, mainly, he says, in the heart. So I'm going to teach a lesson this morning on the glory God delights in. What does it mean to glory? The glory God delights in. God's worthy glory versus man's worthless glory. Now we need to see where we're at today. Now I taught 9 years in Christian schools in ACE. When we came out of Canada in 1976, we had a Christian school in the church there in Slidell. So all my high school years were spent in accelerated Christian education. And if any of y'all know anything about PACES, or it's called the School of Tomorrow probably today, as they name it. But my curriculum I had, we had Edition 1, and Edition 2 was being made. But I'll go way back to where the material was stapled up in the corner. And that was my math, algebra, and it was just sheets of paper stapled in the corner, you know, Edition 1. And we had what we call PACES. But we did what we call a lot of self-tests. And you know what? In life, there are a lot of self-tests. And these self-tests are aimed at you and I as we read the Word of God, as we hear the messages, as we take the Word of God, what are we going to do with it? Then we're to take a self-test. Lord, where am I at concerning your Word? Amen? So I want you to understand life's full of self-tests. And this morning, we need to do some self-testing, and that God show us where we're at, and so that we individually can understand where we're walking and how we're walking and if we're walking with the Lord. Amen? And so God wants to provoke thought. He wants us to think. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to examine through the Word of God what He's doing in our life and what are we doing in a reality of whether we're serving the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your Word. Thank you for the privilege it is to glory in you. Help us, Lord, to not glory in our flesh and the world, but, Lord, that we'll glory and understand what this refers to so we can apply it to our life today and walk with you in this wicked world and be a light and salt to witness the gospel to the world. In your name, Jesus, amen. So the glory God delights in, God's worthy glory versus man's worthless glory. Now, how much glory impresses God? What is it that impresses God? Another new mountain chain and the beauty of a lake? A championship won by some athletic group? What is it that God says, wow, that is tremendous? And we know the Bible teaches that He's more interested in a heart that has yielded to Him, walking with Him. That gets God's attention, amen? A heart of a believer that is serving Him faithfully. But here He's reminding through Jeremiah, the children of Israel, why they were in a mess, why they were, judgment was coming, why they were being chastened even with the nations, and because of the glory that they had was not the glory of God. Remember Jeremiah the prophet who was raised up as a prophet for Israel. Now, go back, hold your place here in chapter 9, flip back to chapter 1, look there in verse number 5, and it gives us a clear, just right off the bat, what Jeremiah's job was. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth. By the way, that'll really bust up an abortionist, amen. God said that we were persons in the womb. Somebody say amen right there. We got a nation that's killing babies, and it's doing it. And by the way, there's money behind it. Let me give you a word that many times people don't understand. The word collagen is behind it. Human parts manufactured for skincare products. Find out where that collagen is coming from. Is it a bovine collagen or is it people collagen? Is it baby collagen? I mean, this is terrible. We are seeing this happen in our own country. And many times it's not publicized because people would not buy those products. But there's a lot of money made with that concerning these babies that are being aborted. And so he's a person. Aren't you glad of that? He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the who? Nations. That's including the nations of Israel, nation of Israel and Judah, such as that. And so you go on and read, when you read the book of Jeremiah, always remember that what Jeremiah was doing and how God was using him, and it helped you to understand when you're reading through the book of Jeremiah. Israel and Judah would not repent of their sins and of their backsliding. So judgment and correction was coming on their lives. And they were given numerous times to repent, and they kept sinning against God and tempting Him. Jeremiah was so distraught that he wished that he could cry continual tears for his people. At one time, he wanted to quit. He said, "I just can't preach anymore." And the stirring in his bosom, the fire of God was there, and he just couldn't stay. The Bible, in other words, "I can't hold back." And he began to continue to preach and prophesy. But it's like you and I, as we serve the Lord, and sometimes there'll be opposition, there'll be suffering, there'll be people that do not like us, there'll be people that turn their back. It's something how this morning, when I was trying to witness to the girl at the counter, she did not want to hear the gospel message. But I let her know the Lord loved her and died for her, and Jesus Christ is Lord. And you just have to lean. It gets real quiet when you don't want to hear the gospel. But I love it when somebody hears the gospel and takes it. And we'll talk more about that today, some things that happened recently. But notice here that they were given numerous times to repent, and they did not want to do that. So this drove his thoughts to wanting to live away from them in the wilderness, and so that he wouldn't be around their wicked lifestyles. Go back to verse number 10, chapter 9. Go back to chapter 9, if you would. He says, "For the mountains will I take up a weeping and the wailing, and for the habitation of the wilderness, a lamentation, because they are burned up, and so that none can pass through them. Neither can men hear the voice of the cattle, both the fowl in the heavens, and the beasts are fled." And he was talking about, in verse 9, "Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" And he said there's even a time that he wanted to hide. He wanted to get away. And God was referring to some things about Jeremiah and the way he was living, and how that he needs to be faithful not to go into the wilderness, but to go forth in front of them and declare the word of God, and tell them about their wicked lifestyles. God gave a list of three areas of their rebellious condition. In chapter 9, verse 3, and in verse 6, he begins to tell them. Go back to verse 3. So as we're getting over here to the end of this chapter, we need to look here in verse 3. And he says, "And they bend their tongues like their bows for lies." So, in other words, he said they're lying, they're not telling truth, but he says that they are not valiant. Now, this word "but" is a conjunction here in the sentence of what he's doing. I want you to get your attention now what they're really doing, and that's really harming them. Look there in verse number 3 of chapter 9. If you have a Bible, say amen. If you look, and look at what the Bible says. He says, "But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they are proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." So there's a problem. God gave a list of these three errors of their rebellious condition. When you and I get in this condition, and our position is that we're not right with God, we're not valiant for the truth, we're going from evil to evil, and we're not doing that which is pleasing to God, there's a problem with our relationship with the Lord. Look there in verse number 6 also. "Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." Now, let's go back and just kind of review those three areas. They weren't valiant for the truth. That means to take on and make one mighty and full of strength. So in other words, they weren't standing strong in the truth of the Word of God. Makes me think of the children of Israel. And I'll refer to this, some of this in the next message. But you remember when David showed up on the scene when Goliath was cursing Israel? How many of y'all believe the Israelites weren't valiant for the truth? They weren't strong in the Word of God. They cowered down in weakness away from the things of God. Now remember, when we're weak, He's strong. That means in reference to humility, we're submitted to Him. We know we can't do it, but we yield to God. And they were not doing that. They weren't that. Nope. Hey, men and women weren't standing for truth. They could have had idols made next door to them. They're just going to sit there. Oh, well. I guess that's the way people do. No. Stand against it. Tell them to go move. Say, "It's not of God." And if all God's people would stood up, they wouldn't have had the problem with idols and issues of ungodliness. How many of y'all believe America is kind of like that today? Notice they went from evil to evil. Instead of repenting and getting right, they went from deceit to lying. How many of y'all know that sins, when we sin, if we look at our sin, let's say we sin the sin of pride, how many other sins follow the sin of pride? It's a link, isn't it, preacher? It's like, when I look at it, I have to repent. It seems like I repent of this particular sin, and there's another five or six that tail right along with it. If I'm full of selfishness, well, I'm making myself my own God. That's a rebellion against the authority of God. If I'm full of selfishness, why? Because I'm full of pride. Why am I full of pride? Because I'm resisting the will of God. I mean, I can go on and find out how they link. But just like when we walk with God, when we're singing to the Lord, when we're delighting in the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit joins together. Love, joy, and peace. When we're filled with God, all those link together. Amen? And so God wants us to understand that if we are not faithful to make a stand for Him in love and to do the right thing, we will end up in a mess just like Israel. Look at the third thing. They did not know the Lord. This speaks of having a deep regard, respect, and relationship with God personally. Do you know the Lord? Somebody, my dad is saying somebody, the Lord spoke to him about something. This other Christian said, professing Christian said to my dad, Brother Osteen, what do you mean when God, you mean God speaks to you? My dad said it this way. He doesn't speak to you? What's your problem? My sheep hear my voice. There's a communication. God talks to by the aid of the Spirit of God through the Word, amen, to His children. If God doesn't talk to you, then there's a problem. Either you're so backslidden and out of the will of God that you're not listening, number one. Number two, or you're not saved. You ought to have a relationship with God. You say, my wife and I have a relationship and we never talk. You got a messed up marriage, man. My husband and I have a relationship, but we never speak to each other. It's really wonderful. Well, I'm not going to get anybody to come up and tell us how wonderful it is when you don't speak, amen, because there might be some people that don't like that part. But the point I'm making is you can't have a relationship with a person without communicating. It's impossible. Amen. With some form of, you say, what happens if they're deaf? There's still going to be communication. There's got to be seeing if we're on the same page. My little sister, when she married my brother-in-law, Vance Kurz, he's pastor down in Alexandria, Louisiana. I remember her saying to him, she said, Vance, my daddy tells me every day I love you, and I expect you to tell me that. You know what my sister says? I feel secure when you hug me and you tell me you love me. And she was bold enough to admit it. Some people don't admit those things. But I'm going to just tell you, when I'm with the Lord and I'm not feeling Him speak to me, there's a problem. And I want to get it right. Because I want to talk to the Lord every day. Amen. And I want Him talking to me. I want to feel His presence in my life. But there's times He does show Himself mighty because I'm not yielding to His might. Does that mean God's not mighty? No. He's powerful. But I have to yield myself to Him. Amen. Every day. So look at verse 13 and 14. Now go back a little bit further. We're getting closer to our text. He says, and the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Then he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, O God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. In other words, I'm going to make their life miserable because they're disobedient to me. Now watch this. Go back to verse 13 to 14. Let's just walk through. How many of y'all believe the Bible outlines itself if we just look? Amen. Look what he says. The prophet follows up and tells God's issues of rebellion dealt with concerning Israel. They forsook God's law, His word. That's one of the first things that happens. We don't even read the Bible. We put it aside. We start our opinion. Everybody else's opinion overrides the Bible. You say, preacher, I don't do it. Well, I don't think you and I intend to do that. I don't think we go like this and shut our Bibles. I'm tired of the Bible, and I'm going to listen to everybody else but the Bible. When was the last time you said that? I doubt if you and I have ever said that, if you're saved. If you're lost, you're doing it. But if you're saved, it's not that you just say, God, I don't like you anymore. It usually doesn't happen that. It does with subtle disobedience, setting aside God's word. No. Before you know it, we look up and there's no communication. Are y'all with me? Amen. It's a deceitful plan that Satan has against us. And so they didn't obey God's voice. Well, once you quit obeying God's voice, how often is he going to keep speaking to you? This was his word through prophets and preachers. God gave you to declare his word. Then they didn't walk in God's word. So how are you going to walk in God's word if you forsake it and you don't obey his voice? Well, you're not going to walk in his word. And I'm not going to walk in his word when I'm doing that. And so they didn't practice God's word in their life. Then they walked after imagination. How many of y'all know if we're not walking with God, we're going to walk with somebody? There's that void again. If we disobey God's word and we leave a void in our life, guess what? Something's going to fill that void. And you know what it's going to be? Steve Osteen's fleshliness, my lustfulness, my rebellion, and anything in my old flesh that the flesh wants to do is going to start filling that void, and I'm not going to be walking with God, but I'm going to look up, I'm going to be way out in left field out of the will of God. Are y'all with me? That happens. So we're applying it to our life today. It can happen to us. They walked after the imaginations of their own hearts. This is spoken of in chapters, and later, even in chapter 17, verse 19, 9 through 10, he said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My heart of itself, without being yielded to God, is a total mess. Amen? Yeah. Well, I'm going to let my conscience be my guide. No. Let God guide your conscience. How about that? I'm just going to follow my heart. That's dangerous. Amen? Because following our heart means you're following our flesh, and we're going to do our way, and we're going to get in a world of hurt. How about this? I'm going to let God have my heart. I'm going to yield to God in my heart. I'm going to crown Jesus Lord every day in my heart. Amen. I'm going to say, Steve, you don't need to be on the throne. Jesus, please be there. And that's when we daily yield ourselves to God. We have to make that choice every day. That's not a salvation choice. That's already made. We don't get saved and unsaved. This is a battle of the flesh against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. We've got to get our armor on and yield to God. Amen. And so they forsook God's law. They did all these things. And so then they walked after Balaam, a demonic cult. Now, if you go back before they forsook the law of God, and you interviewed an Israelite, sir, are you a Jew? Yes, I am. You love God? Yes, I do. How many do you believe that in 2 months from now you're going to be worshiping an idol? No way! Well, sir, the Bible says that if you forsake God's word and you fall and then you start walking with God, before you know it, you'll be walking with idols. Do you believe that? There's no way! I'll never do that! And in 2 months, guess where that guy's at? Come on. Where's he at? Here, that's the old flesh saying, I'll never. And by the way, it'd be a good policy in your life. Don't ever, never say never. Say it this way. By the help of God, by the will of God, by His strength, I'll not do that. Amen? Because we can't do it in our own power. Now let's go to verse 23. Just outline these thoughts here. Look at verse 23 now. Now let's get back to with the glory. Look at verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let him, the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And so here, I titled this verse 23, a wasted glory. It's a wasted glory. God then began to have the wailing women to come and cry for Judah. I mean, they had to basically hire people to cry for the funerals. Why? Because it made it more real like a funeral. That showed right there that people's emotions weren't even stirred in disobedience to God. They weren't shameful of their sin anymore. It was like we were getting used to it. How many of y'all believe that's a dangerous place when we get used to sin? And we don't feel the correction of it. And so a time of death, as with getting ready to take place among many Israelites and nations itself that turned away from God, God tells of how man seeks his own glory instead of the glory of God. Now this word glory is very important. It's a word means to be clear, to shine. to make a show, to boast of, to rave over, to celebrate, and to commend. So when we glory over something, and we glory over that thing or person or situation, what we're doing, we're boasting in it. Look what I did. I won this trophy. I've got some glory here. Look what I have. I own this. Look how wonderful. Now, there's not a particular sin when we're doing it thanking the Lord. Look what God did. Amen? Look how God provided. And to God be the glory. But the word glory basically is to take something and brag about it. I mean, I believe that the one that most should get most of the bragging is, all the bragging is Jesus, right? And what happens, man gets the glory in his own little world. And the glory is not of God, it's of our flesh. And those are three things he mentions. Look at the first of all, look at this vainglory. First, it's man's wisdom. How many of y'all believe God wants us to have wisdom? But he wants to have whose wisdom? His wisdom. And then he can take all man's wisdom and he can turn it toward him and he gets the glory. Amen? But it's just about having wisdom and look what I'm doing. That's what Israel is doing. Are we seeing that today? Look at my education. Look how much knowledge I have. Look what I have. Wisdom. And so we see here, they had man's glory. It was a vainglory of man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so that's the vainglory of man's wisdom. Second of all, look at the vainglory of man's might. How many of y'all believe men are pretty powerful? Men and women can do strong things and powerful things. But who should get the glory? God should get the glory. But when we're doing a look at me, look how I did it. Look at my strength. Well, the Lord says over in Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so, see, the vain glory in man's might. You're glorying in your wisdom. He said, you're glorying in your might. You think just because you have horses and chariots and you have swords, and just because you have missiles and guns and tanks and atomic bombs, sounds like I just applied it to somebody. Who did I apply that to? America. We shouldn't be glorying in all that stuff. Is that right? We should glory in the Lord. But when you start glorying in our wisdom and our might, God says you're gone the wrong direction. Number three, what is the other glory? What is this other vain glory? Glory in man's riches. Now, I hope everybody here gets real wealthy and you get kabillions of money, dollars, and you can use it for the glory of God. But if it's going to get you out of church, keep you from serving God, I hope you don't get money. Amen. Like the fellow I prayed, he said, Pastor, he said, pray for me to get this job. I said, what job? He said, I want to get this job. I said, are you tithing? He said, no, sir. I said, I'm not going to pray for you to get more money so you can tithe less. Why should I pray for you to get more money when you're stealing from God right now? And he didn't know what to say. Start giving to God now, and then we'll be praying for you to get more money. Because then you'll know what to do with it. Amen. To give God the glory. And so how many of y'all believe, not careful, even independent Baptists can get more wealth, and before you know it, they can get them out of church, get them to think they're going to buy more stuff. Sometimes as a pastor, I'm thinking, when that guy got that bass boat, I said, uh-oh. That's good on Saturdays, or maybe all right on Tuesdays. But you know what? That bass boat on Sunday is not going to work, preacher. Amen. Pastor, I'm out here. I'm worshiping God out here. I always tell people, I said, yeah, but when they drive by, they're going to think you're fishing. They're not going to think you're worshiping. Amen. Let's be honest. But you use that for the glory of God. What happens? He says in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, that be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us riches to all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, that means to share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So we see in the New Testament that God says we're in danger to this area if we're not careful. Vainglory. All right, let's go to verse 24. Let's look at the worthy glory. We saw verse 23. We saw that glory that was wasted glory. But how about some worthy glory? Look at verse 24. He says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. How many of you believe Israel was not giving God glory and they weren't knowing God? And they weren't glorying in the things of God. They weren't boasting, and here's what God is doing. That's not, by the way, that's not a pride that's sinful. That's the right kind of boasting. When we can boast and say, to God the glory. Because when we give God the glory, there's not sin in that. Because He's sinless. Amen. He's perfect. And we need God. How many of y'all believe we need God? We need to brag about Jesus. Amen. And that's why Israel quit doing that. They quit bragging about their God. They quit boasting in the Lord. They went after their wisdom, their riches, and all the blessings. It was the blessings they had, but they forgot the blesser. Danger zone. I got a message I preached in that. Years ago, I used to preach that. And I still preach it. I guess I'm preaching it now. But the point is, we got to get our eyes on the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. That's the worthy glory. Look what he says. The Lord wanted mankind to understand him, to know him. And this would be opposite of disappointing God and bring him delight. To love God is to understand and know who He is, His attributes, and His divine character. Notice these three things that He deals with in His exercise, He says. Well, Him that glorieth, glory in this, that He understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercised, and He goes to tell about those things that He exercises. That he, in other words, to exercise in this context means to put actions to it, to do it. To exercise what God says to do. To put to practice all the things we talk about. You know, I can sit on that easy chair and go, man, I'd like to be running 5 miles right now. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, Brother Lyson, how you doing? I said, man, I ran 20 miles this morning. Is really? They said, really? I said, yeah. Then I woke up and took a shower. Right? See, in your mind, you can do a lot of stuff that you're really not doing, right? All these good intentions, all these exercises that are not being practiced. My son was personal certified personal trainer. As you know, he went to OU and got his master's degree and a bachelor's in health exercise science, and he was going to be a strength coach. And so he's buff and I'm buffet, you know. So he exercises all the time. And I can tell he looks at me sometimes and goes, I don't know if there's any hope in my dad, amen. Dad, you need to do a little bit more exercise. I know, man. As long as I know where that refrigerator is, I can run from the couch to the refrigerator, amen. No, I'm not against exercise. I played a lot of sports, and I understand the point of it all and the good of it. Exercise profits little, but he said godliness is profitable to all things. So there's a little profit in exercise, and we need to be in good health and such as that. The point is, but we better make sure we don't forget the real exercise to glorify God. Amen? To love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. So here, look at these three areas. Exercise, loving kindness. Now, if we're going to be like the Lord, do you believe that we ought to exercise loving kindness? Amen? I want to follow Jesus. Are we following His will? What did He do? He loved people, didn't He? We ought to love people. Psalm 36:7 says, how excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. One of the apostles says that we love God because He first loved us. So we didn't even know how to love others until we learned how to love God. And then God taught us how to love, then we can love others. You want to see this church love God? This church love God, you'll be loving others. Amen. Psalm 36:10 also says, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. So exercise loving kindness. And then the Lord says, exercise His judgment. He said, well, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. Everybody gets that out of context. In other words, you're not the final authority over what somebody does. What he's saying is, make sure that if you try to make a judgment on somebody, that you're also, if you take the little speck out of somebody else's eye, make sure you take the beam out of your eye. So we ought to make righteous judgment. We make judgments every day, don't we? And so we ought to make righteous judgment. In other words, make sure we know what's right and what's wrong and do the right. That's what Israel lost. It got foggy. Listen. It got foggy over what was right and wrong. Why? Because they weren't in the Word. They weren't listening to the prophets. They weren't walking in with the Lord. Before you know it, now they're out there with Balaam, worshiping an idol. How many of y'all know they really got foggy by the time they got to that level? God says we need to understand God wants us to make good judgments because God's a God of judgment. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 19:9. And then we ought to exercise righteousness. Well, it's not our own righteousness. It's the righteousness that we have from the Lord. Because my righteousness is a filthy rag, the Bible says in Isaiah. But he says in Psalm 97, verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see this glory. So God delights in this. In other words, it brings God joy and gladness of heart to see his children be obedient. But it grieves God. When it's not. I told my son, you can affect my attitude. You see, what do you mean? I said, the Bible says, a wise son maketh a glad father. Keep me glad. I said, okay, Dad, I'll try my best. Amen. Yeah, see, God says that you grieve me, you quench me, you resist the Spirit of God when we disobey. Is that right? And so God wants us to know that he loves, he exercises righteousness. Where does this righteousness come from? For us. Well, it comes from God. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the book of Romans says, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in the righteous, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so when we believe Christ and have him in our heart, then there's that first time that righteousness comes in. Now we can do right, amen? Now we have the conviction of the Spirit of God. Now we have the Word of God working in our life. And there's the connection we have with the Lord as being birthed into his family. Notice this. Because the Lord exercises his glory, he wants us to exercise, to put action His glory in our daily lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the, finish that for me, do all to who? Glory of God. Amen, that's right. In other words, that we can boast in what God's done. Look how you helped me, Lord. Look how you supplied my need. Look how you answered my prayer. Look how you provided my need. You're a good God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Didn't we just have Thanksgiving? That's part of glory to the Lord, isn't it? Saying, God, you're so good. Thank you for your provision. Then look at the woeful glory. Then he says about the ones that do not glory in God, there's judgment. I will punish them. And he talked about Israel. I'm going to punish you. You're supposed to be circumcised. That was a covenant relation with the law that God had with Israel when the boys were, the future generations, as he said, were circumcised, turning away of the flesh. And that's what happened when you and I got saved, according to the book of Hebrews, that the Word of God divided the soul from the spirit. We had a spiritual circumcision. In other words, now we are not going to have to walk in the flesh. We can walk in the spirit. So God separated the soul and the spirit so that we can be free to walk with God. Amen. And so that's why the Bible will call the circumcision Israel, and the uncircumcision was the heathen. But in the spiritual realm, the uncircumcision, size is the lost, and the circumcised is the saved. Okay? And so because it was an inside spiritual transaction of turning away the flesh. In other words, before I was saved, I just naturally sinned. I had no way of walking in the Spirit. So God came in and birthed me into his kingdom, and then he circumcised, he separated soul and spirit, joints and marrow, amen, by the power of the Word of God. So now I'm free to walk, and I can combat the flesh by obedience. But I also, because I'm still in this body of sin, if I'm not careful, I can turn and walk against God and walk in the way of my flesh. And God says, that's what I do not want you to do. But God, why didn't you just save me and make everything perfect? Because God says, I want you to learn how to turn against evil like I did. Now, how are we going to identify with Jesus if we don't identify with suffering with him? It's a very simple principle. The reason God didn't save you and bang you on the head and bring you to heaven right away and make everything glorious is that he wants you and I to learn how to stand against evil. How many of you know when he got baptized, what did he do? He went to the wilderness, 40 days, right? The wilderness. And the guess who came to tempt him with three temptations? You remember Satan tempting Jesus? God says, I want you to go through the same thing I went through so you can identify with me. Watch this. How about me identifying with the Kansas City Chiefs? Watch this. I'm just going to go buy me a Kansas City jersey and a uniform and step out in the field and start playing. Hey, fellas, I'm here. I want to be a receiver. How many of y'all believe they'd probably put me in jail, right, haul me off? Say, what happened? I'm identifying with you. Sir, just because you have one of our jerseys doesn't mean you're one of us. Right? I had no identity with them. How about this? How about if I I came in and I tried out on the practice field and I won a position. And then I started getting hit and getting back up again. And I started identifying them. They saw that I'm one of them. Before you know it, I was good enough. Just pretend here, okay? That I'm good enough to be a receiver. And then they said, I want to give you a contract. And then we want you to play. Okay, are you seeing the process? What happened? I identified. Now I'm a Kansas City Chief because I went through the process to become one. Right? We are Christian. Now we got saved. God said, I want you to identify. I want you to exercise these things in your life. Righteousness and obedience and service to me. I came and loved you. I want you to love me. And it's very simple. We need to understand that God wants us to do this. Now, there's a lot of preaching here, but listen, as I'm closing here, think about this. We need to delight in obedience and righteousness as God does. If we do not glory in how God's loving and God's loving kindness and God's judgment and God's righteousness over vain wisdom and vain might and vain riches that we spread about, then our glorying is in vain. But he that glorieth, let him and her glory in who? The Lord. Let me encourage you. Make sure you glory in him. Boast in him. Thank him. Praise him. Tell God how good he is and live it and walk it in your life. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Help us to glory in you and not in vanity and wasted glory or woeful glory, but it'll be worthy glory. And Lord, to show the world that you're our God and that we'll walk in your word daily, serving you in your name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.